decided to go and build their own church, and they ceased to worship in the rundown building that they were at in a small environment, so they decided that they were going to build a church. So the Methodist church family got together, decided that they were going to build a church. And so they put their monies together, and they went to throughout Swan Quarter and began looking around for just the right spot where they could build their church. So they came into the center of town, and sure enough, they found a spot in the middle of town, a high spot, the highest spot in town, and they thought, well, that would be the most perfect place to build the church. So they went and sought the owner and asked permission to buy the property. Well, he said no. So, praise the Lord, somebody offered him, or offered the Methodist church, some property. And so they took the gift and they began to build their humble little church on brick pillars, little wooden structure. Of course, this isn't the original facility. And just on the eve of the dedication of their little church, in fact, they started worshiping in their church before it was completely finished. The eve of the dedication, there came a great big storm. The wind was blowing, the rain was coming down, and the floodwaters came up, and would you believe it, that poor little church got swept up off its foundations before the dedication. And the church went down, floated down the street, bumped into the corner grocery store, and according to the eyewitnesses, it did something unique. It took a slight right, went down across the canal, then took a left, and rested right on top of the center spot in town. Well, the owner of the property was quite moved then and immediately turned over the land to the small Methodist church. And so they called this little Methodist church Providence. Why? It's a true story. You can look it up on the internet. Providence, highlight that. Providence, Methodist Church, Swan Quarter. You can print out the story yourself. And sure enough, it landed right in the spot where they wanted to originally build the church. I don't know about you, but that's providence, amen? God has a motion in his church, what do you say? God wants to move his church to different places. And so today, we're going to look at a couple of things. But before we go on, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That's the greatest question of all time. Who is Christ? Who is he? That's the question that we all must have to come to grips and terms with. We must have a realization, a revelation in our personal lives who Jesus is. Can you say amen? We've got to know who Christ is. And especially, we must know who Jesus is in our church. And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" You see, that's the greatest question to all of us. Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he the Lord and Savior in your life? Is he God in your life? Is Jesus the central focus in your church and in your home life? And all that you do, is Christ paramount in your life? Is he the central theme in your life? And I believe question comes across to us just as much, more so today, as we are approaching the second coming of Christ. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Is Jesus the Lord of your church? Where does Jesus fit into your church and in your culture today? Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which where? Is in heaven." God revealed to the disciples that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so we must today have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in order to be saved. And friends, this church must be consumed with Christ. Amen. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pause there. You know, this is the old challenge. Some contemporaries will say that it was upon Peter. Peter was the, quote-unquote, the first pope that was established for the church. Well, Jesus was actually contrasting Peter as a little pebble, but pointing to himself, Jesus is the rock, amen? Jesus is the rock of foundation. He says, upon this church, upon this rock I will build my church. You see, friends, you can't fight against God's church. You cannot argue with God's remnant church. God has chosen a church. He has dedicated a church for the purpose of preaching the everlasting gospel to the world. But friends, that church must be revitalized by the Spirit of Christ before it can be a true witness for Christ. It must be built upon the foundation and the principles of Christ and His holy word and nothing else. It must be built on Jesus. And so Jesus responds. He says, Peter, you're just a little rock, but upon this rock, me, Jesus, I will build my church. And what does it say there? The gates of hell shall not what? Nothing will fail in God's church. Amen. God's church will make it through till the end. Boy, I have so many quotes about God's remnant church, but let's, from Testimonies 5, page 395, notice what she says here. The church is a conduct, is to conduct an aggressive warfare. What is the purpose of the church? The church is to conduct an aggressive warfare to make conquest for who? For Christ, to rescue souls from the power of who? The enemy. What's the purpose of the church? To work to save what? To save souls. Friends, that is the primary reason, the focus, the emphasis of why our church is established today. That's why it was built. That's why the foundation was laid. That's why we have the roof over our head. It was for the salvation of souls. We are to be soul winners. Amen? Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. This church is to be soul winners for Jesus. Against who? The power of the enemy. Who is our enemy, friends? Satan. That's right. And guess what? The devil does not like this church. He doesn't like it. And continuing, Testimony 5, page 395, God and holy angels are engaged in this warfare. Let us please Him who has called us to be what? All of us have been called into the warfare. We cannot sit by passively and expect somebody else to do it. We cannot sit by and expect the pastors and the elders to win the warfare. We are all called to engage in the battle between good and evil. We are called to win souls for the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And I believe sincerely with all my heart that God has made some checkout clerks. He has made some lawyers. He has made some doctors. He has made some carpenters. He has made some street sweepers for the purpose of getting the message out to the world to save souls. Whatever capacity God has put us in, He has called us to be soul winners for Him, to be soldiers for Him, to go forward with the message in our hearts and in our minds to prepare for the soon return of Christ. That's what the church was established on, amen? Is to be soldiers for Jesus. We're going to look at three types of church, three types of mentalities that we see, I believe, that we see today. The castle mentality is an inward focus. You know, they're always concerned about what's going on the inside. You know, concerned about the welfare of the local congregation, concerned about the welfare, the preservation of the status quo becomes paramount. You know, what's most important is that we get along inside our church, that everything's okay. It leads to institutionalism. You know, you belong to an institution rather than belonging to a church. You become belonging to an organization rather than belonging to Jesus. It's more important to be on the church books than it is to be Christians. Amen. The castle mentality, we've set up our boundaries. We want to protect ourselves from the outside. We want to be careful of what comes in the doors. We don't want to associate with sinful people or sinful actions. We got to be careful. We got to guard ourselves. We don't want anything to penetrate from the outdoors that might be harmful on the inside. Tradition overrides principle. It kills evangelism. We're more concerned about the happiness and the well-being of the people inside the church, and we forget that millions of people on the outside are dying. Of course, the Jewish leaders were more concerned about how many steps they walked in the day than defeating the poor man that was hungry, or the derelict that was lying in the gutter on the street. They would rather step over him, lest they themselves become impure. In other words, tradition overrides the principle. What kind of church are we today? What kind of person are you today? Do you fit into the castle mentality? Well, then there's the resort mentality. It's focused on drawing large crowds. All they're concerned about, we want large numbers of people. We want to fill in our pews. Make sure that our pews are packed. And many times they de-emphasize the distinctive Adventist truths, the sanctuary, the Sabbath, the state of the dead, and so forth. They're not so much emphasized. At least to entertainment instead of worship. And we might see that in some, especially cultures and churches, you know, the hand raising and the waving. It becomes more of a entertainment than worship. More concerned about worship and entertainment than the truths of God's Word. Compromising truth for the sake of popularity. We don't want to become unpopular even within our own church. Tolerating sin for the sake of unity. I've seen these things before. We don't want to rock the boat. We want to be careful what we say. We don't want to preach something because just in case it might offend somebody. In fact, you know, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or step on any toes. We find ourselves doing this sometimes, tolerating sin for the sake of unity. Functions under the banner, please at any cost. No matter what it is, let's please everybody. Make sure that everybody's well taken care of. Don't mind what the Word of God says. But there is a church that I believe that God would have us to have, and that's the seek and the save mentality. It is the church exists to save the lost and reveal God's character. The purpose of the church is to seek and save the lost, to search out and to find those that are dying for the lack of salvation and the hope of eternal life. People that are looking for Jesus and haven't found the truth yet, or people that are looking for Christ and don't know how to find it. In fact, the Ethiopian man, he was reading from the book of Jeremiah. And Philip, the disciple, hears the man reading, and he runs up to the man and he says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he says, "How can I understand unless somebody tell me?" So Philip gets up into the chariot with him and begins to explain the plan of salvation. The Ethiopian man, a rich man, a wealthy man, obviously a servant of some kind, has some kind of status, accepts the gospel. And Philip says to him, "What hinders you to be baptized?" And the Ethiopian said, "There's some water over here. Can I be baptized?" "If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be baptized." He baptizes him, you see, and he comes up out of the water. Philip is taken away by the Spirit of God, never to see by the Ethiopian again, but that man's heart is changed forever. You see, we exist for the salvation of souls. All of us are called to be witnesses, to bear the truth of Jesus in times of need. Evangelism becomes the focus of the church, friends. Our church is built on evangelism. Our church is built on the cycle of evangelism. Our early forefathers preached the second coming of Christ with fervor, and they were willing to give up everything they had, their houses, their homes, their lands, their prosperity, whatever it took for the advancement of the cause. And do I dare say today that many of us, in our culture today especially, in our comforts of our home, in our environments, we have forgotten what evangelism is all about. We have forgotten what it means to sacrifice and to give up for the sake of God. Evangelism calls for sacrifice. Evangelism calls for sacrifice. Evangelism becomes the focus of the church. Clear understanding of the message and its mission. Do we know what our mission is as a church? Do we know what our mission is? Do we know the purpose for which we exist? Have we forgotten? What is the message of Matthew chapter 28? Jesus tells us, go into all the world and do what? Preach the everlasting gospel, right? That's the mission. The mission is to go out and to preach the everlasting gospel. That is what we're called to do, is to go out into the world and to share the mission. Now, what's our message? What is our message that we share? It's the three angels' message. We go out into the world with the mission that Christ is with us to go and prepare a people, but we invite them in to accept the truth of the messages of the three angels. The hour of judgment has come. Babylon has fallen. Don't receive the mark of the beast. That's our message. And in those three messages of the angels incorporates all of doctrinal truths found in the Adventist church. Do you realize that? that our early pioneers and our forefathers in the Advent message, everything was evolved around the three angels' message. Every truth can be pointed to the three angels' message. All of them. And so that's our message, and our mission is to go. Jesus invited us to go. Every member is to be involved in soul winning. And do I dare say today that we are called to win souls for Jesus? You are called to tell others about Christ. Why are you here? To warm a pew? Why are we here? To pay our respect and our due to God once a week? Why are we here? We are here to be educated and to be taught about soul winning. Focus is on conversions, not simply baptisms. In other words, it's not about numbers, it's about conversions. That should be the paramount of any church or any leader in their home or soul winner. We want people that are converted to the truth. Amen. Let the Spirit do the work. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit do the work of the baptism. The person will be called to baptism. Yes, do we need to make appeals in their lives? Sure we do. Many times we get in the way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the conviction. But what do? We're the one that does the convicting. Do this or do that. You see, the Bible is, we're told the Bible is a double-edged sword, right? It's sharp. Now, if we don't know how to use the weapon right, we can cut somebody's head off. If we're not careful how to use God's Word. We can abuse God's Word and we can use it appropriately. And I think we need to learn how to have a balance. Focus on conversions, not just baptisms. And obviously, victory in Jesus and His righteousness. The message for God's church today is that we are victorious in Christ. How many of you find yourselves victorious in Jesus, you see? Are we living the victorious life? Are we overcoming sin? Are we overcoming temptation? Are we overcoming wrestles and challenges that we face each day? Friends, if you're not, then maybe we need more of Christ. Maybe you need more of Jesus, because the very fact that you have come to Christ, and especially if you were baptized, is that I'm saying I'm an overcomer. And if I'm an overcomer, guess what? You can be an overcomer too. Jesus helped me, and I know He has power. Look at my messed up life. If Jesus is able to help me in my messed up life, then He can definitely help you, you see. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Personal testimony, a walk with Christ. And when we have that walk with Jesus, when we have that relationship with Jesus, guess what? We can tell others about it and how they can have that same experience. Yeah, it was just this week, too, I was sitting in a Bible study. And a person asked me, well, they were talking to me about their challenges with a certain issue in their lives. And they asked me about it, and I said, you know, Christ can give us the victory. I don't care what the sin or temptation is. And they said, I don't think you understand. Have you ever had to deal with this before? And I was able to say yes, and I'm not going to tell you what it was. I said, yes? Oh, okay. So God gave you the victory. Yes, He did. God helped me overcome that temptation. It's no longer a part of my life. And let me tell you something. If God can do it for me, He can do it for you. You see, it's that personal walk, it's that personal testimony. Have you experienced the power of God, you see? Our church is built upon training, our church is built upon being a testimony for Christ. Training and equipping lay members for service. The early churches, early pioneers focused much on this, emphasized this. Training and equipping persons for service for the Master. Now, each one has an ability or capacity in which they can serve. Some can stand up and give sermons. Some cannot do that. Some can go knock on doors and invite people to church. Some people cannot do that, you see. I believe that we can do all things through Christ, amen? He'll help us overcome those inconsistencies as well. But whatever the case, God uses our abilities and whatever your capacity. Somebody once said to me, Pastor, I'm too old. I can't do that stuff anymore. And I said, so when do we retire from God's work, you know? We never retire. Hopefully to our death, we go down witnessing for Christ. Amen? We're called to be soul winners for Jesus, to be educated, to be trained, to equip lay members for service. Our church is a training ground. It functions under the banner to save at any cost, no matter what it costs. we are going to save souls for Jesus. At any cost, personal sacrifice, giving up of my time, giving up of my monies, giving up of my offering, giving up of my sacred time at home, giving up with maybe some family members even. We are called to give up for service. Jesus came, He gave all. Amen? He gave all for you and I. He came to this world, He died on the cross, He died for you and I so that we can have eternal life. Jesus gave up everything. It is our call too. Jesus makes that same appeal. Go. At any cost, whatever it costs, be soul winners for Christ. It may be a sacrifice of our time. It may be a sacrifice by using our voice. We may be scared to death. But God says, speak, and I will be with your words. Maybe we're impressed to go and talk to somebody in the supermarket. Maybe we're impressed to call somebody on the phone. Maybe we're impressed to call up a relative or a friend that we haven't talked to in a while, and we're scared to death. But Jesus says, go. Maybe God asks us to reach down into our pocketbooks and write out a large check that we've such an amount that we've never written before. We're scared to death, but God says, do it, you see. I know God has challenged me in those areas before. He asks us to do these at any cost. So what kind of church person are you? Castle mentality? Are we guarding our doors, protecting ourselves from the outside? Are they resort mentality? Hey, anything goes, just as long as we can become friends. We are called, friends, to give a distinct message. We have a mission, and that is to go. Where will you stand today? What kind of person are you today? Are there talents that God is trying to tap into in your personal life? He is trying to bring out? Are there things that Christ is asking you to do that you've been afraid to do? He's asking you to go different places maybe. Is He reaching down into your heart today? And have you been resisting, you see? Christ makes the strong appeal. He says, go and I will be with you. Christ gave up all so that you can have eternal life. At what cost are we willing to sacrifice so another can experience the same? Jesus loves you so much that He died on a tree called Calvary so that everyone in this congregation can have eternal life. I don't know about you, but the greatest joy comes from telling others about Christ. We may not be doctrinally sound. In other words, we may not have, you know, in the back of our heads or in our back pocket all the scripture, you know, that helps prove the quote-unquote the state of the dead or the Sabbath or 2300 days and all those. But Jesus says simply go. We don't have to have all of that. We don't have to have the eloquence of Bible study. But we sure can go tell others about Jesus, can't we? It's not that difficult. We are called to seek and to save the lost, to be a training ground to equip others for Jesus' soon return. Where will you stand today? What will you do for Jesus? Where will you go for Christ? I invite you with me right now to stand. If you'd like to be a servant and a soldier for Christ, if you'd like to dedicate yourself and your time and your efforts and your energies, at whatever cost, God may be placing in your heart to go forward. Asking today that Jesus will bless your decision as we go forward, as we prepare, friends, for the soon return of Jesus. I believe He's coming soon. How about you? Amen. Father in heaven, I thank You for giving us Your Son Jesus. You have given Him to us as a gift, that we may have eternal life. The hope of our salvation, the hope of our eternal existence is because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And so today, Lord, I invite you close into our hearts and minds, that You, Lord, would lay Your hand of providence in our lives, that You would lead and that You would direct our paths. As You have taken that little church in North Carolina, against all obstacle that seemed impossible for where You had given them the place, or it seemed impossible, Lord, where You have told them to build their church, and yet in the midst of a storm, Your hand of providence moved that little church to where You wanted it to be. So, Lord, I look at this. There's nothing impossible with you. Nothing impossible. Whatever you would have us to do, wherever you would have us to go. Lord, you will bless the way. You will pave the way for us. Today, as we stand here today, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Lord, I pray that you would go through this congregation, that you would touch each heart, that you would transform lives and prepare them for your soon return. And may they be a people with a mission, with a message to bring others to the throne of salvation, that we may one day stand in your holy presence with those around us, those who have accepted the gospel message of hope because we were willing to share. Help us now, Lord. Help us now to be those people that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.